Hello, all you growers out there. Jordan River here. Thank you for tuning in to GrowCast today. Quick reminder, mygrowpass.com is closing membership registration January 7th, so go today, get yourself a membership before it's too late. Mygrowpass.com, see all the amazing perks. I've got a very nice episode for you today. Ali Abuzalam is on the phone, and I think I did okay with that pronunciation, but he's a very interesting guest. He has a hemp flower company and a vape company, and we talk about the hemp boom and the vape controversy and all sorts of cool stuff. I know you're going to love it. Before we jump in, though, let's give a little love to one of our partners today, Danny Danko, the legendary cultivator, and his new book, new-ish book, Cannabis, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Marijuana. Just go to growcastpodcast.com/Danko, D-A-N-K-O, to get your copy of Danny's book. And make sure you email contact@growcastpodcast.com when you buy as a Bloom member, because he'll sign it for you, everybody. That's pretty cool. And that's at mygrowpass.com, by the way, if you haven't heard of the amazing membership program we got going there. Danny Danko, everybody, the senior cultivation editor at High Times Magazine and industry legend, wanted to give back to the community. So he wrote his book, Cannabis, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Marijuana. And it's great for beginners and experts alike, because experienced growers know you got to keep up on the basics in order to keep learning and stay on top of your game. Like I said, go to growcastpodcast.com/Danko to get yourself a copy. And Bloom members of mygrowpass.com get theirs signed when they write us. Pretty cool. All right, everybody, let's jump into the show. I know you're going to love it. I hope you're killing it in your grows. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please tell a friend about GrowCast, tell a grower, share the show. We appreciate it. Check out Rob Smith's show, The Homegrown Helpers, for more grow content, and my new show, The Coffee, Health, and Science Podcast, where we're talking about coffee and health and science. It's really, really cool what we got going on over there, guys. Come subscribe. Today, we have a very special guest. He is a ganjapreneur. He's in the hemp CBD world. He's in the vape world. Just a really exciting guy to talk to. We have Ali Abuzalam on the phone. Now, did I do an okay job with that pronunciation, Ali?
Okay, it's Abuzalam, but pretty good.
Abuzalam. That is a cool last name, man. Thank you for coming on the program, Ali. We appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about your projects first. First of all, the On Purpose podcast. That's a personal development podcast you got going on, right?
Yes. Yes. The On Purpose podcast. The mission is to empower ourselves and others to live life with more passion and purpose. We have about 36 episodes and different topics, just about trying to live a life with more purpose, you know, with all our technology and so many things going on all the time. Sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves, like, wait, well, what's the purpose of why I'm doing this, you know?
Absolutely, man. I love that. Everybody check it out. Go subscribe to the On Purpose podcast. And of course, your cannabis projects that are now picking up some real traction here. You've got the Bee Nails vape line and the Leafy CBD cannabis line. How did these get started, Ali? And what's your mission with each of these projects?
Yeah, so Bee Nails was started in 2015. At a very early age, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur and always have been passionate about cannabis from the first time I got stoned with buddies in high school to when I moved from Texas to Colorado and saw veterans crying about how cannabis has saved their lives from, you know, getting them off of Oxycontin, Percocet, and the whole opioid epidemic. So I knew that I wanted to be a part of the cannabis industry. And long story short, I had a buddy from high school. He was on my wrestling team. Call me. He's like, hey, man, just saw you moved to Colorado. I know you're a business guy. I have a product idea. I said, what's that? He said, it's a way to dab without the torch. And I was like, whoa, because I had seen the torch in college. Fraternity brothers like, hey man, you want to dab, firing up the torch. And I was like, what the fuck is that? I'm good with my joint and pipe, you know. This is like 2011. Totally. So when he said that, I was like, you know, I knew that concentrates and waxes would be popular, but I knew that we needed to move away from the torch. So my buddy Tommy showed me, he was building electric nail prototypes.
Nice.
And this was in 2014. he's like, these are the big competitors, you know, Erlectric and a couple other names, D-Nail, that were around, and I can build them better and cheaper. So we invested some money and got started, and the rest is kind of history.
That's incredible, man. And then you launched Leafy just recently, right? This is your CBD hemp flower venture?
Yes. So really I'm trying to position myself as a smoking vape kind of inhalation expert in the cannabis industry. There's over 1 billion smokers in the world today. You know, one in seven people smoke something, whether it's cigarettes, cannabis, hookah, whatever. And my mission is to improve that, whether it's getting people off of tobacco or having more purpose with their smoking. So our slogan at B-Nails is to be your best. Be your best at whatever it is that you're doing. We're the Nike of the cannabis industry. So when you see that B, we want you to think be your best, even if at whatever it is that you're doing. You know, I like to smoke before just a little bit, kind of micro dose before training martial arts. A little high before doing that and athletic things. Some people like to smoke before social events, anxiety. And even if you're just getting stoned to the bone, you know, be your best at getting stoned to the bone. Have your favorite pillow, your favorite blanket, your favorite TV show on. Make sure you just have intention, because I've been there to where I'm just smoking, getting high, and I have no intention behind it.
100%. I love that. I love that attitude, man. And that ties in with something that I've kind of kicked around on this podcast before. You know, I've kind of dubbed the three main purposes, the three main reasons why people smoke cannabis, in my opinion, tends to be either the recreational side, where you enjoy the taste, you enjoy the way it makes you feel, and you have fun. The medicinal side, which is there's some sort of ailment that the cannabis is helping you with, whether it's anxiety to just calm down or help you go to sleep, pain relief, whatever. And then there's the spiritual side, which is kind of things like you described, like using it for martial arts, using it for meditation, using it for creative inspiration, for the creativity boost. That's all more spiritual and what I would say ritualistic. And I think everybody has all three, but they're ranked differently. I feel like usually people have one in the forefront as to why they consume. So yeah, I liked what you just said about kind of improving those reasons, getting clear on those reasons, and then going deeper. I like that.
That's awesome, man. I like that Trinity definition that you have there. That's cool.
Yeah. When it comes to the hemp flower, how does it look from your perspective right now? I mean, you're a startup. You're just now booming here. What does legality look like in the United States? I mean, it seems like it's being sold. I'm seeing it in states where there's no recreational, no medical program. It seems like it's being sold everywhere legally.
Yeah. Hemp flower is definitely blowing up. There is some red tape that people need to navigate around, especially with shipping and transportation, because especially high quality hemp flower, like what we have distributing with Leafy, grown in Oregon, really high quality hemp flower. It looks, smells, and tastes like some fire weed. I mean, you would fool me. And until you smoke it and you know, you don't really feel that instant effect.
THC like you rush. Agree with yeah.
THC. Exactly. THC rush is a great way to describe it. But it could fool me. So anyone could really be, you know, packaging high THC strains and saying, oh, here's my lab report. So that's kind of the holdup. But because the industry is emerging so quickly and the demand is skyrocketing, lots of smoke shops are selling hemp CBD. The thing that we're running into is it's really difficult to be 100% compliant and be selling online. Online is difficult with credit card processors.
Yes.
Primarily. And a lot of people just don't want to take that risk. So a lot of the companies, if you can find it online, most likely aren't completely compliant. I would definitely recommend the listeners out there, make sure that they have their COAs, a certificate of analysis, showing that the strains are exactly below that 0.3 percent THC. And that's total THC. There's also a big misconception that people think it's just THC or THCA. No, that's total THC, because there's THC, THCA, and some other variants of THC as well.
Oh, wow.
So you want to get a THC below 0.3%.
That total. Wow. So the online ones are running into more problems? Is it primarily because of the payment processing, which I know can be a problem, or is it more to do with like shipping too?
It's primarily payment processing, and shipping is still a risk. You know, there's just a lot of ambiguity in the law. So we work with some of the best attorneys, the leading attorneys in the state who are helping here in Colorado, who are helping actually create hemp legislation.
Nice.
And they have advised us really well on, you know, make sure you have your COAs, and have straight up told us like, hey, this is the risk that you're taking because this is how the federal law is written.
Right.
But we don't think, you know, we don't think that they're going to crack down on you for shipping something that is quote unquote legal.
100%.
Just make sure that you have all your T's crossed and I's dotted.
Well, that's the big, I don't want to say the big risk, but that's the big trade-off. Let's put it that way. Because this is such a new and lucrative and expansive market, the reason it is so lucrative is because, you know, it's unclear. So there are the people who are not necessarily taking a huge risk at this point. I would say in the past, you know, a couple of years ago, people putting themselves out there were taking a bigger risk in exchange for a bigger piece of the pie. So if you can get in on the ground floor and you can make sure to establish yourself without stepping on any toes, you can be in a really great position.
Yeah. And it's interesting because hemp flower is such a niche market that even it's hard to tell, because here in Colorado we're immersed, and here being the mecca of just cannabis overall,
right,
we're immersed in it. But nationwide and even globally, hemp flower is still a very new and emerging trend.
Yes.
Everyone is crazy about CBD and looks at CBD as a medicinal product. People don't associate smoking to a medicine. Last year I was at the MJ BizCon. I went to the one in Vegas, but the one that I spoke with the panel was the one in Toronto. And
nice.
I asked a panel of hemp CBD experts. One of them was the owner of like the India's first Bombay hemp company. They're massive producers of hemp textiles. They also do CBD, and two other really high level speakers. Just a year ago, like, hey, what do you guys think about the hemp flower market? Two out of three were like, oh, it's just a trend that's just kind of like die out. And then one of them was like, I think that's an emerging trend that nobody's paying attention to, that a lot of people are going to capitalize on. And here's why. Because in Europe, people are already using it to get off of cigarettes, different hemp blends, hemp tobacco blends. And even with current cannabis smoking regimens, some people, you know, I've definitely been there, like, man, I'm getting too stoned on a consistent basis, but still really enjoy the smell of the plant, rolling something up and smoking it. Hemp CBD flower is a fantastic way to get that fixation without being too stoned. Because I know people like me, I'm not one of those people who can
operate all day.
Operate all day at a high level. So, you know, some people are. I know some people that they actually need that. But for me, the type of work that I do, I can't operate at a high level all day.
Yeah, I think that takes a special person. I think the average person will appreciate. And, you know, it's just funny. Just yesterday, I smoked a CBD strain called Juicy Fruit. It has like 1% THC or something. And it has like 16% CBD. I smoked it all day because it's all I had. And then when I switched to THC at night, I was like, holy cow, this is so much of a better experience to have the CBD during the day to, you know, have that little respite, have that little break, like you're saying, but then not have the tolerance. See, for me, it's not so much the operating. Like, I do great on THC, but what bothers me is the tolerance that ends up building up. And if you can,
yeah
if you can have some CBD during the day and then THC at night, that's a real winning strategy.
I think so too. That's my strategy as well.
You touched on people quitting smoking. I'd imagine that's got to be a huge market, man. So people are gonna get off of tobacco and onto CBD through like blend and kind of weaning themselves off.
So I haven't seen anything like that yet.
That's got to be the future.
I think so. There's some people who argue against that. There are people who are making straight hemp cigarettes. But here's the thing about smoking, you know, most smokers, cigarette smokers, I've been a cigarette smoker before as well, are smoking multiple cigarettes throughout the day.
Yeah.
If you're smoking multiple hemp joints and cigarettes throughout the day, you're going to be tired.
That's true.
You're going to be hungry. if you're smoking in a way that you're smoking cigarettes, I think that there will be a market for hemp, and maybe it's not just tobacco, but other herbs, hemp blends that are in cigarette form. You know,
yeah,
there's
good point.
There's a lot of people looking. There's hundreds and millions of searches a month of people, you know, alternative to cigarettes, getting off cigarettes. People are trying to get off cigarettes because they know it's not the best habit.
Right. Yeah, man. Anything that can help with that, I'm definitely behind. When it comes to the quality of hemp flowers, you know, I feel like just last year everybody was using this word biomass, like everybody was growing for biomass. For their CBD processing. And now I feel like it's all about like, how good are your flowers? What are the flowers like? What have you seen as far as the quality of CBD flowers and the range of quality?
It's a pretty wide range right now. I've seen anything that looks like, you know, that dirt island swag that you can get in like the Bahamas or Jamaica.
Right.
That's all like seedy and stemmy to really high quality, amazing smelling hemp flower that
almost indistinguishable.
Exactly. We had a strain, a leafy strain lemon drop, and everybody was like, "Dude, there's no way this is hemp flower. Like, no way."
That's sticky. That's what I want to hear.
It was delicious. But then you smoke it, you'd be like, "Okay, I guess it is."
Totally. Yeah, and you know. Yeah, just the CBD fruit, CBD juicy fruit I was smoking yesterday was so tasty and had all those terpenes. Like you said, I think a lot of people are after the terpenes, like primarily.
Yeah.
That taste.
Yeah, that smell. The nose knows, they say.
Yes, 100% agree with you on that. Are you concerned at all about a bubble? You know, obviously, with a huge rise in a product like this, the first concern of the market is there's going to be too many growers. There's going to be too much supply. But at the same time, I've really never seen demand on this level. You can even point to what happened in Canada with the legalization of cannabis. They ran out. So I'm wondering if you are concerned at all about a hemp bubble.
At this stage, no. I think that once we hit national legalization and every state is producing hemp and cannabis, then maybe that'll be concerned. But I think a bubble is going to be more of a concern years down the road, you know, minimum 3 years, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much demand and there's so many states that have yet to come online that are going to love this hemp flower. I think that we're going to run out too, man. I think that people are going to stop drinking so much. That's what I think. I think they're going to start smoking just because it makes them feel better. And we'll see how that goes. You know, another thing that I really hope stops is this whole like fake cannabis thing. Have you caught up on like K2 and Spice that's landing people in the hospital? You know about this?
Yeah. I've never tried K2 or Spice. I remember trying, I don't know if it'd be considered in the same category, but salvia. You heard of salvia?
Yes, that is not the same category. Salvia is a hallucinogen that's very strange and enjoyable. But yeah, so you've done the alternative smoking, but you've never tried the like K2.
Right. Never tried the K2, but I'm hoping that people will stick to natural, and I think hemp flower will definitely help with that.
I can't see it surviving the hemp craze. Like, why? Yeah, why would anybody go for the synthetic if they can get the real deal that's hemp?
Yeah, it would be a very specific and strange target market, in my opinion.
Yeah, the bath salts crowd?
Yeah, exactly.
Zombies, basically, is your target demo?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that,
zombies,
man.
Zombies, there might be your K2 customers.
Yeah, you remember that, the bath salts craze, and it was making people eat each other's faces and stuff? That's what happens when you keep cannabis from people, man. They start trying all sorts of weird shit. You just got to give them the plant that they want, and then they'll fucking cool out. I hope that'll play.
Right.
I don't think that K2 is going to survive this wave, and I truly hope those people lose all their money.
Dude, that'd be a great thing to present to Trump. Just be like, look, do you want zombies? Just go ahead and eat them.
A zombie-based platform. I want to talk, though, about, you know, the K2 Spice stuff leads right into this. The vaping controversy these, you know, there was the vitamin E acetate that was found in these vape cartridges. And by the way, there was just another big article that came out like yesterday or 2 days ago. Man, Ali, the mainstream news has done such a horrible job reporting this. Have you noticed that? Like, first they were confusing between cannabis vapes and normal vapes. And then they were talking about THC, vaping THC for like months before they got on board with the people who were really in the know, which was these are contaminants in there. Have you been following the controversy?
Oh, of course. Definitely. Definitely. And it is unfortunate that, you know, that there are people dying. I think last time I checked, it's about 39 people have died. But this is over years. You know, vape related deaths in the United States over. And I want to check my notes here because I was actually just putting together a little report on this. I want to say it's over the last, you know, 10 years.
Right. Still pales in comparison is what you're saying.
Exactly. To where there are hundreds and hundreds of other causes of deaths in the United States.
For sure.
And what, you know, not to say that this doesn't need to be reported. I think it's great. I think that there does need to be more regulation around everything, and a safer industry is good for everyone. But my theory here is that vape cartridges, you know, companies like Juul, PAX has raised $550 million since 2015.
Wow.
Juul is a multi-billion dollar company now.
Yeah.
To where some of the most powerful lobbyists in DC are big tobacco, big alcohol,
threatened
big
by
pharma.
These. Yes.
Exactly. And they want to get their meat hooks into this industry and get some of that money themselves. So they're pushing the agenda for the scare to happen while they're developing their patents. You know, Marlboro has like 13 vaporizer patents.
Wow.
They're getting ready to get in. So I believe that, yes, we do need more regulation, and yes, it's important, but most of these deaths are coming from black market cartridges that people are buying and cutting with this vitamin E acetate and who knows what else. But going to a licensed dispensary where we have regulation, it's not cannabis that's killing people.
Right.
It's these cartridges that are being cut with other things and being sold in mostly illegal states. So
100%.
It's unfortunate that the cannabis industry is getting a little bit of a bad reputation. But I think in the long run, it'll be a temporary thing.
Growing pains.
Exactly. Enforce more regulation, which is good for everyone.
Right. But I don't know, maybe people are going to start pushing back towards like the atomizer pens where you're just atomizing some concentrate just so they can see the product. I mean, when the product is behind that cartridge, behind that glass, and you really can't interact with it all until you light it up and inhale it. Maybe people don't like that method or that kind of not like lack of transparency. Am I making any sense there? Do you think that there's going to be a pushback to vaporizing concentrates?
I think so. I think so. I think a lot of people are going to want to know exactly what they're inhaling, you know, to where they can buy from their licensed dispensary, that their growers, you know, and load your own. So you're not putting trust in the hands of these companies that you're not sure what they're cutting it with.
Yes.
You know, and especially if you're buying black market, it's definitely not an epidemic. You know, let's talk the opioid epidemic. I mean, that's about 130 people a day.
Dude, don't get me started, man. I get so weirded out by the shit that the media chooses to portray like an epidemic, but they don't want to talk about the opioid crisis, which is killing 150 people a day. They don't want to talk about heart disease, which kills 500,000 people a year. They don't want to make any legislation around that. I think it's really, really weird what people choose to pick and choose to create an epidemic and then push for legislation around to make the laws more in their view. Just basically creating laws that they think it's all based around emotion, is it? Do you think it's more of an emotional argument that it's legitimately scary?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, you know, news is based on emotion, mm-hmm. and it's got to be bad news. It's got to get you riled up,
right?
But no, definitely, and of course, the lobbying interest. I mean, we're not talking about opioids as 150 a day, but 39 deaths in vapes over 10 plus years,
right?
You know, I mean, 5 times more people than vapes have killed die a day.
That's crazy.
From opioids. I mean that those numbers are insane. So it's definitely an agenda there.
Yeah, you're right. It's the agenda, and it's also it's exactly what you said, which is I think fear gets the clicks, and that's all the news media is really after, is like, what can we get the most clicks, the most downloads, the most views for the advertisers, however that works.
Right. And so many people are vape, you know, I mean.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not going anywhere. That's what I was going to say to you is like, I've even been told by some people that, yeah, vaping isn't as good for your lungs as smoking. We've evolved around smoke, you know, campfires, cooking fires. We've learned to, and I was like, that's bad news, man. Cause I fucking love vaping. I'm not going to stop. It's really, really convenient. And, maybe I won't be vaping 24/7 now after talking to like Anthony Smith about the cartridges or whatever, but I'm telling you, vaping is just too convenient. It's too enjoyable. And, to me, a nice clean cartridge or a nice clean concentrate really doesn't have detrimental effects on my lungs from what I can tell. So I'm excited
definitely
to see
it. Yeah.
I don't think people are stopping is my point.
No. And I'm not a doctor, but I disagree. I think that, you know, combustion, when you're burning a paper, when you're burning a blunt wrap, even all the resin from your bowl has more that's going into your lungs than vaporizing. I mean,
even
our ancestors were vaporizing, you know, they were our ancestors in the BC times were burning herbs on hot rocks and hot coals.
Good point. And that wasn't combusting, was it? That would be a vaporization process.
That is a vaporization process. And the clean technology that we're using with ceramic, with clean ceramic, with clean grade 2 titanium, even with quartz, is the same method. You know, I mean, shit, you could get a hot coal and a hot rock, and our ancestors have been doing that for thousands of years as well.
Oh, you're so speaking my language. I like this.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That the vaping controversy again, like there needs to be more studies done.
Yes.
Pulmologists need to weigh in on the conversation, but it's one of those things to where it's a fine line. It's a fine line, but I wouldn't go as far as to say that it's worse for you than, in my opinion, than traditional.
Well,
combustion.
I appreciate that as a vapor myself. So I definitely appreciate that. And like you said, I think it only remains to be seen. I don't think we can really make any judgments at this point. And we do have the empirical evidence, which is how it makes you feel. And having smoked cigarettes, you know, which are legal, I feel like the illegalization question is kind of out of the question based on health purposes, just because of what's available, you know, alcohol and cigarettes. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, as long as it's nowhere close to those, which it isn't, I don't really see a problem, you know, to go after. I don't see an epidemic there, but yeah, I would agree with that. I never really thought of that, you know, when the Scythians are making their smoke baths and they're putting the cannabis over the hot coals, that's not smoking at all. That is not a combustion process. That's a vaporization process. I never thought of that before.
Okay, before we jump back in with Ali, let's give some love to our partner today, Humble Garden Lenses, everybody. Just go to humblegarden.co. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 15% off your camera lenses. And mygrowpass.com members get 25% off their Humble Garden Lenses, everybody. That's right, humblegarden.co, home of the Humble Garden Lens, everyone, the creator of the HPS smartphone lens filter. If you grow under HPS bulbs, you know that photographing your garden can be tricky. Well, it's downright impossible. Well, Humble Garden took the same technology in light-correcting glasses and applied it to your phone's camera. With their clip-on lens, attaches right to your smartphone so you can get crisp, balanced photos of your garden and showcase it the way it was meant to be seen, everyone. So go to humblegarden.co, promo code GROWCAST for 15% off just for listening to the show. If you've got HPS lights, it's time you grabbed one of these, humblegarden.co. And when you're ready to save 25% on this product and many, many more, go to mygrowpass.com. Remember, membership registration closes January 7th. Okay, everyone, let's jump back in with Ali.
As an MMA fighter and really training hard and to where my lungs, you know, deep breaths, I can feel when I smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Or even when I smoke a blunt. I cough. I can feel that. But I rip my Gobi, which is a ceramic chamber and dual quartz coil, every day, daily, and smooth. I'm never having trouble breathing. My lungs are always good. So I know just from personal experience and personal use, cigarettes, blunt wraps, joints, I feel those way more than I do any vaporizers.
Well, we do have empirical evidence and how it makes each of us feel. And I think what you said about bowls has always frightened me. I've never been a fan of glass. I'm always super worried about that resin hydrocarbon coating and then the heating of that resin over and over and over and over. There's got to be some sort of compounds in there, some undesirable compounds that are getting into your lungs every time you hit it.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you quickly, though, because you touched on it, about the vaping technology and specifically the different materials. Talk to me about vape pens, the loadable kinds, the load your own kinds. What is the difference between like a titanium chamber versus a ceramic chamber versus a quartz chamber?
So typically you're always going to get more flavor and be able to taste your terpenes more with quartz and ceramic.
Oh, really?
Any metal. Yeah. Any metal, even grade two titanium. Some older vaporizers use stainless steel and Kenthal. For whatever reason, you're just not able to get as much flavor. But you know, grade two titanium is indestructible. That's one thing, especially with nails. So B nails, we also specialize in and specialize in desktop setups. Your E nail, using either a titanium, quartz, or ceramic nail. And that's always the piece, right? Like you're sacrificing a little durability for flavor,
right?
But grade two titanium you can always count on, and they also retain heat extremely well. So retain and heat up quickly. So a lot of I don't think coils are going anywhere, but
yeah,
especially with this vape craze, this is really making a push for no heavy metals. But ceramic and quartz chambers are fantastic as well. Primarily ceramic. That's what we found just to be kind of the overall,
best one, other than the fact that it's probably pretty, like you said, fragile.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit more fragile than titanium, but when it's in an atomizer, it's really hard for that to crack or break, and usually
yeah, just don't drop it when you're loading it, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice, man. I like that. So, is there not much of a big difference between quartz and ceramic?
You know, for me, some people will. It's really all personal preference. I mean, obviously the elements are very different. Ceramic does take a little longer to heat up.
Oh.
Does retain heat a little bit better once you do get it heated up. Quartz is very, very similar to glass, looks like glass, is very, very clear. You'll dirty it very quickly. But as far as flavor, in my opinion, they're very similar. Quartz does seem right now to be more popular in the industry, especially if we're talking desktop units for rigs, electric nails. A lot of people like the quartz bangers. It's a very popular nail style right now. But as far as atomizers, the chambers tend to be either ceramic or titanium chambers, maybe with quartz rods, quartz coils, things like that. The technology doesn't really allow for full quartz chambers because it is the most fragile. Oh. And there's just a lot more likelihood for a full quartz chamber to break in pens and things like that.
Awesome. Yeah, really, really interesting stuff. I just love the ancillary technology advancements. Speaking of technology advancements, have you seen solventless extracts making an impact on the market? What do you think about this idea? Like you said, people are wanting to move away from certain things, right? They want to move away from heavy metals. They want to move a lot of the times away from synthetic fertilizers. I think that solvents are probably going to be one of those things for extract consumers. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely a higher tier product you know, kind of connoisseur product to where people just feel a lot safer knowing that there was no solvents used in making their extracts. A lot of growers, rosin pressing is becoming very popular.
Yeah, big out where you're at. In Colorado, it seems really, really popular right now.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of growers extracting rosin.
That's great.
We actually, B-Nails has, we have a weekly show on Instagram Live called TG High F. Thank God we can get high on a Friday. And today we'll be interviewing a owner of a company called Noku Labs, and they only do solventless extracts, nice. which is pretty interesting. Yeah, we do that every day at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. Kind of wish I had this conversation with him before, because I'd probably be able to give you guys some more insights. But I do think they're going to make an impact on the market. The thing is that it's a lot higher price point and a lot less yield
True.
For producers. So I don't see it being a dominant product in the market. And at the end of the day, when you know, you can have higher yields, and when state laws require there to be very, very, very little, I mean, you're talking parts per million, I believe is a measurement, PPM, required to have little to no solvents
right.
in these
final products.
Extracted, yeah. Right, in these final products, you're talking
negligible,
the smallest,
right.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll give you that. I would hope that the production cost goes down and the best practices, you know, kind of evolve to hopefully it'll be a little more accessible, a little more affordable, let's say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would probably agree with your statement there. That's a fair assumption. But yeah, I'm all about it, man. I see like Pure Pressure out there in Colorado and with their rosin presses, and they put them into pens, apparently. They can even go into pens, even though they're solventless. I'm all about that, man. I want me some of those. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm gearing up to go dab myself right now. Before we sign off, though, why don't you give out all your URLs, your Instagram? Where can we find you? Where can we find B-Nails and all this good stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So if you're looking to be your best, check out BEE_NAILS_USA. So that's B-Nails USA. Fantastic vaporizer products, very healthy, medical grade and food grade materials, very safe, load your own, eco-friendly as well. We just had a new product come out, the Stinger, that is a new cartridge technology. It's called a wax cartomizer. We're trying to help with one of the biggest problems in the cannabis industry right now, and that's that we're filling tens of millions of cartridges in our landfills per year.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, the disposable card. So definitely pushing the agenda for reusable, refillable. You can get those at email.com. We'll have a huge Black Friday. And then Leafy CBD, that's LEAFY CBD on Instagram as well. And then my personal one is Ali Abouzlam, if you guys are interested in all the crazy personal stuff that I do. That's ALIABOUZALAM.
Hell yeah, man. You're gearing up for a MMA fight coming up here. You're working with MMA fighters with your CBD. Best of luck and all that, man. I'm a huge, huge lifelong MMA fan from back in the Pride days, watching Pride FC with my dad when I was 13 years old, you know? So, I know. It's actually really funny when you wrote me, because you were like, I do a personal development podcast, which is something I do. You do MMA, which is my favorite thing in the world, and you do cannabis. I was like, it was definitely a lot of synergy there. So best of luck in that field, and best of luck in your fight, man.
Thank you, brother. Do you have a favorite fighter right now?
Oh God, I have so many. Favorite fighter in the UFC, or just favorite fighter in MMA. You're putting me on the spot. It's so hard not to love Jorge Masvidal right now and everything he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say I'm going to go with a less ubiquitous answer. I miss Alexander Gustafsson. I miss the Mauler. I loved that guy. I think he's coming back. I hope he's coming back. Francis Ngannou, I want to see him fight again. Yeah, what about you?
Nice. Right now, man, I'm loving Paulo Costa.
Bro. Oh, Costa. Love it, man. He just had that injury, though. He was supposed to fight Adesanya, and then he blew out his bicep or something.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I watch the MMA World. It's like the YouTube channel that puts out the news every day. I'm hooked on MMA World. And I saw that, yeah, he was supposed to fight Adesanya. Adesanya was making fun of his short little T-Rex arms. And Paulo Costa was like, I'm going to fuck you up. What a good answer, Paulo Costa. I love that.
Right? Oh, that'll be a great fight. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, man. The Growcast listeners are probably like, what are you guys talking about? So we'll continue this conversation another time, my friend. But best of luck to you and everything you're doing, Ollie. Thank you for coming on the show, my friend.
Thank you, Jordan. Much appreciated.
All right, everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. Find us on Instagram at Growcast. Find me on Instagram at JordanRiverIG. And yeah, check out the membership program, mygrowpass.com. This is Ali and Jordan signing off, wishing you the best of luck in your grow. Be safe out there, people, and grow smarter.
That's our show today, everyone. Sorry for the late release. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're having some wonderful holiday times wherever you are listening from. Christmas is coming up here. Regularly scheduled growcasts will be dropping, so look forward to that. Let's see. Let's take care of some outro business. MyGrowPass.com. Get in before membership registration closes January 7th. It's your last chance to get in, people. Go and get it. Shout out to Start to Finish Consulting. Start the number 2, finish 710 on Instagram. Shout out to Jay Blanked on this beat for the ad beat. SoundCloud.com/Jay Blanked. Thank you all so much for tuning in, everybody. Best of luck in your grows. I hope you're killing it. All right, everyone. Happy growing out there. Bye-bye.